When I'm having a hard time talking, it might be a sign from the Lord. When Pope John Paul came to Rome and he was elected Pope and came to Rome, he brought with him a book that he had written, but it's a book that he had not yet published. The book was entitled in Polish, Male and Female, He Created Them. Well, he never published the book. Instead, he chose to take the contents of the book and use them for a series, what we might call lectures. It was his Wednesday audiences. And he used them over a period of 5 years and gave 129 talks based on the content of this book. He himself called the content of that book the theology of the body. There are many people who think of all the things that Pope John Paul contributed to the church, that may be his greatest contribution. A contribution that we're still watching to unfold as the world begins to study more and more of what he said. One of the things that he brought out very clearly in those lectures or conferences was the goodness of the human body. Our bodies are not evil. Yes, our bodies have the capacity to do evil, but of themselves, our bodies are good. Think about it for a moment. Without our bodies, we could not come to a knowledge of God. Without our bodies, we cannot be in any kind of relationship with God. Our bodies are the very medium by which we can enter into relationship with God and with one another. Go back to the book of Genesis and remember when God created. How did he end each day of creation? He said he looked at what he created and he saw that it was very good. He saw that our bodies were very good. The goodness of our bodies. Last week at the homily, I spoke about the union of man and woman and how in their oneness with each other, their oneness in the lifetime commitment of marriage, that they somehow form the very image of God, the God who is three persons but one God. That this union of persons that we call marriage somehow is meant to reflect the image of God, first of all, to the couple themselves, in their oneness with each other and their love for each other. They are come to know something more about the love of God, also about the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, as they experience those realities in their own lives. But then also in their oneness with each other and in their love for each other, they are to manifest God in the world today. And that people are to come to know something about the reality of God's love and God's mercy through the example that they see in committed Christian marriages. This is one of the strong teachings of John Paul II. The oneness of the couple in marriage. But he saw that as foreshadowing a greater oneness. The oneness that you and I are called to in the kingdom of heaven. The oneness that we are called to with our God. That oneness between man and woman is meant to somehow be a foreshadowing of the communion that we will have with God for all eternity in the heavenly kingdom. And that some way, that oneness of marriage is meant to prepare people for that time when they'll be in that intimate communion with God, where they will share in the very life of God for all eternity. Let me go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I don't know how many of you have seen this book. It's not a book you want to read, but it is a book you want to turn to when you have questions about the faith. It's available in smaller editions or more smaller print, but it's worth having around. But let me read this passage. And it speaks about the letter of St. John, and it says, "He affirms that God is love. God's very being is love. By sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret. God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has destined us to share in that exchange." That's what I've been trying to talk about. We are destined, in union with Christ Jesus, to somehow get caught up for all eternity in that exchange of love, that bond of love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the foretaste of that bond of love is the marital bond of love. Now you may wonder, what does this have to do with the readings that we had this morning? And let me try to explain that. In the scriptures, very often when there is a banquet or a reference to a banquet, it is an image of God's love and God's call to communion. Now try to put that in a family setting. And let's say it's Thanksgiving Day or Christmas Day, and you're having a family gathering, you're all gathered around the table for a very special meal. I can remember in my childhood that how that family banquet would tend to drag on. We didn't want to really leave the table because there was somehow a sense of oneness and communion there around that table. And even though the food was gone, or at least reduced by quite a bit, and we weren't hungry anymore, we still stayed at that table because there was a sense of communion. That sense of banquet is referred to often in scriptures as a sense of the communion that we will have with one another and with our God in the kingdom of heaven. It will be like that banquet in which we are satisfied, we are filled, and yet we want to linger there because we want that sense of oneness, we want that sense of communion. Now, how do I get all this out of the gospel today? Well, the gospel talks about that great banquet that Jesus performed, that miracle he performed when they had nothing to eat except those 5 loaves of bread and those 2 fish. But there's something very interesting in the way that St. Matthew describes that, the words he uses. It says, he gave thanks. He broke the bread, and he gave it. Those are the exact same words that Matthew uses when he talks about the Last Supper, how Jesus blessed the bread, broke it, gave it. Matthew is wanting to point us with this miracle to the far greater miracle, the miracle of the Eucharist. To add to that, if you'll read the story and you'll notice, it doesn't say anything about distributing the fish. Undoubtedly, they did. but it was the bread that he focuses on. To focus our attention more and more on the bread of the Eucharist. Now, that bread of the Eucharist, that gift of his body and blood, is the way that God has given us now to enter into communion with Jesus, his Son. That's the purpose of the Eucharist. We call it communion because it draws us into union with this Christ Jesus who died for us and who rose again. It draws us into oneness with him. But that oneness that comes to us through this Eucharistic table, that is only a foreshadowing of the oneness that we will know for all eternity when we have gathered together in the kingdom of heaven. We will be forever sharing in the life of God through our union with Christ Jesus, our Savior. To put it another way, God will love us, and he does even now, with the same love that he loves the Son. And we will be loving God with that love with which Jesus loves the Father. And I'm going to throw in an aside here on baptism. That's what we're going to do with Jaden. We're going to draw him now into union with Christ Jesus so that he is a member of Christ and he can begin to share in that bond of love between the Father and the Son, because he will be a member of Christ Jesus. Now, he has to continue to grow in that because he's not going to know a thing about it. And that's where your role, your example, becomes so important. He needs to be formed in the faith. He needs to know Christ Jesus. He needs to someday come to the Eucharist so that he can be caught up more and more in that bond of love. But that's what the Eucharist is about for all of us. Drawing us into unity with Christ Jesus now, so that now we begin to share his life, and so that in heaven we'll be caught up eternally in that exchange of love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Deep down, every one of us longs for communion. And I'm not talking here about the Eucharist. What I'm talking about is we all long for communion with someone in our lives. Don't we all want someone who loves us? Someone who knows us, both our good and our bad. Someone who accepts us just as we are. And don't we long to know someone in that same way? Now, we may not always be conscious of it, but that longing for communion, for union, drives so many things in our lives. And so often what happens in that searching for union, for communion, we do it in misguided ways. It leads us often into a lot of sin. And yet, that basic hunger is there in each and every person. Now the reality is that only God can fulfill that longing fully and completely. Think about that a moment as I go to the first reading. The prophet Isaiah says, "All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come receive grain and eat. Come without pain, without cost. Why spend your money for what is not bread? Your wages for what fails to satisfy." And don't we do that so often? We spend our time and our energy, even our material resources, for things that cannot satisfy us, that cannot fulfill us. Well, we think for a moment that they will, but pretty soon the fulfillment goes away. What will fulfill us is that eternal communion with God. That communion that we begin to taste even now as we come to share in the bread and the cup of the Eucharist, as we receive the very life of Christ within ourselves. I want to say to those of you who are married, think about the moment in your life when you felt most one with each other. I'm not speaking just of physical oneness, but that much deeper oneness, that emotional, spiritual oneness. Grasp that moment and know that that is a taste of what heaven will be like. Only this time, the communion will be with God and with all people who are caught up in that great relationship. Those of you who are not married, or maybe those of you who have not had that grace of experiencing that kind of fulfillment in marriage, our friendships, in a different way, perhaps a more limited way, can also give us that sense of communion. That communion we have with someone is a taste of the communion to which God calls us. And that is the point I want to make this morning. Each of us are called to communion with this God of ours. That is the purpose of our faith. That is why we live. To get caught up in the life of God and share that life forever in the kingdom of heaven.